done, we'll do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we started a series on honor last week. Before I just do a fast review, that song, I didn't even mean to do that, but at the end, you know that song that says, it's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. So if you sang that today, you better mean it. And you know, when we were singing it, it hit, and I was like, whoa, that ties in with the message. And it came up in my spirit. Well, we'll see after you're done preaching this series if they mean that. Because you're going to find out how to honor God. You're going to find out how to be honorable to Him. And we sing now, it's my joy to honor you. And all I do, I honor you. Well, we need to know what that entails and what that means. But in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, now of course I told this, I don't want to give the whole rundown again, but the Lord's been dealing with me for about 2 years strongly to preach on this subject. And you say, why, it took you 2 years to obey God? Don't you look at me that way. You know you've had your things that you've struggled with. And I'll tell you, it just doesn't pay to disobey. It pays to obey. And, you know, I've seen some things in the church that I know have hurt people's lives. Thankfully, you know, not in a life or death type way. Could get that to that point with people. But from me not teaching it and people not knowing about honor. It's something that I don't enjoy teaching about in my flesh or in my mind. Because there's things in there that we're going to be talking about more next week in the weeks coming about honoring the office of the pastor. Because the Bible says a lot in there. And people that don't have honor towards that office, biblical honor we're talking about, not weird type things, they'll be hurt because they won't be doing the Word of God. And so because that will directly benefit my life, I've held off on doing that. And the Lord sternly warned me in my tree stand in Sugar Grove, Pennsylvania, that I better start teaching it. And he, you know, when it comes to disobeying when you're a parent, the devil will love have an opening to your kids. Your kids can't have faith. I mean, they can, but they, you know, especially real little kids, they're just not at that place where they really can develop their faith and to the point where you'd be able to because of their mind and just different things like that. And so mommy and daddy need to be right. Mommy and daddy, or if it's just mommy needs to be right. If it's just daddy needs to be right. Or if it's the uncle or whoever it is, but the devil wants to have access to the children. And I know this, that if I disobey, it opens the door to the enemy to come into my family. And also him showing me things about the sheep. The sheep are so important to me. I said, okay, you know, it's time for me to put my pride down and just preach the Word. Either we believe the Bible or we don't believe the Bible, right? I mean, if it's in there, it's not me making it up. I mean, it's not like I'm saying, well, now turn to the book, make something up, you know, and start quoting scriptures. You say, I can't find it in my Bible. And, well, you must have a wrong Bible. No, we're just telling you what the Word of God says. So we're going to just teach it. But he's been dealing with me for years on it. The subject is not a small thing in the Bible. And we can see in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, it says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And that word honor means to highly esteemed, to have high respect for something. So what we're talking about is having honor for the things of God. I want the honor of God on my life. The honor of God comes with position. It comes financial blessing. It comes with favor and different things. I want that honor all over my life, but I'll never get it unless I honor Him. Amen. And I know this. I had to be taught how to honor. Yes. I mean, I was a punk. Yes. I mean it. Oh, it was just a disrespectful, no character, no integrity, selfish person. And when I came into the body of Christ, I was still a punk. And still disrespectful and dishonorable and disrespectful and just terrible type of person, you know. I had no respect for authority. Do it my own way. Me, right? And I had to learn honor. And when I learned honor, I got blessed for knowing honor. And I had the honor of God in my life. So we're going to look at that. Mark chapter 6 and verse 4. Praise God. I'm just going through a fast review. You can get on live stream and listen to this. And I do recommend that you do that. Mark chapter 6, verse 4 says, but Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin, his own house. What he's doing is he's talking about dishonorable people in this passage. Well, what did that mean, dishonorable people? What was the result of that? Well, verse 5. And he could, not that he wouldn't, not that he didn't want to, he could. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could there do no mighty work. Jesus was just a picture of who God was on the earth, so we can't say God can do whatever he wants. He can't. He can't do it. And he could there, if he could do whatever he wants, he'd make you come to church every week. Oh, don't make me start something here. If he could make you do whatever he wanted, he'd make you tithe. He'd have 100% tithing across the board in the body of Christ because the kingdom of God would be funded and go forward. If he could make you, if he could do whatever he wants, he'd make you obey him and the things that he's trying to tell you to do that will bless your life, but you're holding off on. God can't do whatever he wants to. Jesus there could do no mighty work, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So it's to your benefit to know about honor. It's to your benefit to learn about honor and biblical honor. Because you'll have the honor of God in your life and things won't be hindered. There were people here that no doubt needed a touch from heaven. They needed help from God and it was cut off from them because they were dishonorable people. I don't want that in my life. I don't want that in my church's life and the people that go to my church. So we're going to learn about honor and we're going to focus on the local church. Why? Go to 1 Timothy 3 and then we'll be done with review. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 14. Why then are we dealing with the local church? Because, you know, there's a lot of other things that you can talk about honor. You can talk about honor with your kids. Kids honoring their parents. Husbands honoring their wives. Wives honoring their husbands. You know, marriages would be fixed if people would just have honor for one another. It's true. If a husband would just honor the wife and the wife would honor the husband, if kids would honor, I mean, I think about how dishonorable I was as a child and how much problems that caused and strife in family. It's like honor takes care of so many things. And there's lots of different things. Honor for your boss, honor at your job, honoring your body, honoring different things. And you know, maybe we'll touch on some of those things. But we're going to be looking at honor for the local church. Because the local church is where that's what God's doing in the last days, is in the local church. Ever since, you know, you look in the New Testament, up until now, it was always the local church. All those letters that Paul wrote were to local bodies. Jesus wrote those letters to local churches. God gave people pastors and church. We'll get into some of that. But anyways, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 14 says, "These things I write unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly." Verse 15, "But if I tarry long or wait long, that you may know how you ought to behave in the house of God." Isn't that something? How you ought to behave in the house of God. The Word of God is God's will, which means God has a way that He wants people to conduct themselves in His house. Yeah, it's not just show up any way you want to. It's not just do whatever you want to. Say whatever you want to. It's knowing how to behave in the house of God. What's so big about the house of God? Well, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. What's a pillar? A pillar is something that supports something. It's like a beam. It holds something up. The local church is in the last days the thing that is holding up the Word of God. You cut out the pillar, you cut out the local church, and the truth goes kaput. The truth is being held up by the local church. Glory to God. Good local churches. Say, what's a good local church? One that has a real pastor. Not one that just decided, well, I think I'll do that for a living. You don't make yourself one of the fivefold ministries. It's dangerous to do that. God gave some. Well, I just think I want to be a pastor. Well, you better get his idea on it. Now, to desire that work, the Bible says, to desire the office of a bishop is a good thing. But to put yourself in that, I wouldn't want to do this without the grace and the mercy. Oh, no, what I want to do this. The time away from family and different things and the situations you encounter, I'll tell you what, if I didn't have the grace of God, it would ruin me. It would ruin me, and it ruins people a lot of times. And they get off and doing things they're not supposed to do. You know, Brother Hagin talked about how he was in the, he stood in the office of a pastor, I believe, for about 12 years. And God said, I never called you to pastor. Get out of there. You're called to be an apostle and a prophet. Get out of what you're doing. You're not going to bless people and you're not going to be blessed. You do the wrong thing. Well, God, that's why it's important to be where God's called you to be. It is. That's why we talk about God's plan for your life. It's important to be in that plan. But the Bible says that the church is the pillar of the truth. So we're going to talk about the church to know how to behave and how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. So we're going to look at that today. Some behavior ways, some ways we conduct ourselves in the house of God. And we're just going to offer some perspective on things and just kind of have a family talk here today. And we're not going to get mad at me today. And we're still going to love me just as much as you loved me before you came today. Hallelujah. Try to brainwash you into loving me. Keep loving me. Hallelujah. Well, anyways, I'm going to just unzip a little more. I don't know what the problem is, but here we go. Number one, we're going to look at three things about honor towards the local church. and offer some perspective and some thoughts on these things. Number one, do you honor your appointment with God? Quiet in here. Do you honor your appointment with God? First of all, let me ask you this question. Maybe you're unaware. Maybe this would help you to start honoring your appointment with God. Are you aware that when your church, where you're called, and your pastor, who's God ordained, when he has service, when those doors are open, that is your appointment with God? That is not the pastor thinking, well, he just wants to have a service. No, no. The pastor is connected with God. God has told the pastor to run the house of God. When the pastor has a service, are you there honoring your appointment with God? Not that, oh, I just got to show up to please him. No. Do you recognize and realize that is a specific appointment that you have with Jehovah God? See, a lot of people don't know that. They don't. They just think church is just church. That church is just what we do. No, 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 no. When the doors are open to where you're called, that is your appointment. It's like on God's calendar, his appointments for the day, he's got you scheduled. This Wednesday, he's got you scheduled at 6:30. Next Sunday, he's got you scheduled, if you're called here, at 10 o'clock. And when you don't show up for those things, and you don't, and there's ways to honor it, and I'm going to get into some things. When you don't show up for those things, you're missing and not honoring your appointment with God. Now, let me say something real quick about this whole message today. We're not getting into legalistic stuff here. We're not getting into the ditch of, you know, I can never go on a vacation. Oh, Pastor, you know, things came up and it was just, you know, how many know things come up at times? We're talking about an attitude and a consistency of a lifestyle. We're not talking about outlying things where work scheduled something crazy and you couldn't be there, or you go on a vacation with your family, or some emergency came up. We're not talking about those things. Don't let the devil muddy the waters this morning and tell you he's legalistic and if I miss a church service, I'm going to hell. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about as much as I can be in my appointment with God, I'm going to be there. It's an appointment with God. See, let's offer some perspective on this. If God Almighty was in the flesh here and said, I'm going to meet with you, I'll tell you what, some of the things that keep us out of church would no longer keep us out of church. I'm talking about recreation. I'm talking about hobbies. Again, we're not talking about outliers. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a consistency. You know, you'd make more of an effort to be here. The drive wouldn't be as much of a problem. Getting ready, maybe getting up early, wouldn't be a problem if you understood God's going to be here. God Almighty, but he is. This is how God's doing things. This is how God's speaking to you. This right here, what I'm doing today, is as good. It's not as cool or neat, but it's as good as God Almighty standing up here and telling you something. Same thing. It's the same exact thing. Matthew 9 and verse 35. I'm going to hit these real quick. See, when we understand, that's my appointment with God. I'll tell you, some of the reasons, so you need to think before you tell your pastor why you weren't in church. I don't have much sympathy for a lot of reasons why people aren't here. Because I can think in about 12 years, I've maybe missed 5 church services, and they've been for outlying things. So I don't have much sympathy when people tell me I was tired. Don't tell me you're tired. I mean, seriously, some of the things people, don't get her started on the tired thing. She'd be at every service she could if she could be here with kids, because the kids and stuff. And people sometimes, I'll tell you, what people don't have a recognition about that this is their appointment, because some of the things that people tell me that keep them out of church, so they don't have a revelation that God was trying to meet with them. God was God. God, not a man. Not just an idea. God Almighty was trying to get something to them and had something scheduled for them that day. And some of the reasons people don't come, sometimes they tell me, I'm thinking, you ought to really not tell me that. I'm driving 4 hours every weekend to be in church, and I don't miss ever. Nothing ever comes up for me to miss, ever. It just never comes up. Never late. Might forget my coat. I won't be late. You know, just decide I'm just going to sleep in today. You know, I got too busy. No, it never happens. Why? I will not miss my appointment. See, when you want something that's important for something, you'll make sure that's the center. That's why I say the church needs to be the center of your life. Now again, don't get in the ditch of religion. Say, oh God, missed the service. No. I'm talking about consistency. But see, when you understand that, it's your point. Matthew 9 and verse 35 says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered. One translation says they were dejected, harassed, and bewildered, as sheep having no shepherd or as sheep having no pastor. He's likening people that go to church to being sheep, and the shepherd is the pastor. He says people that don't have a pastor are faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, and scattered on this earth. Why? They don't have anyone to feed them. Jesus told Peter, said, if you love me, feed my sheep. He told him three times, trying to stress to him. You know, if I tell Caleb something once, you know, it might not get done, but if I want him to get it done, I tell him over and over again.
Sure.
Do this, do this, do this. Why? What am I trying to do? Drive home a point to him. And Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. It was important for him to be fed. Praise God. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Praise God. Just showing you. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Say, I've heard this before. Well, then change your attitude.
Amen.
And honor God. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. You know where those gifts operate? In the church.
Amen.
Yeah. Why? For the perfecting of the saints.
Amen.
When you're not perfect, that means you're lacking something.
Sure.
When you're lacking something, that means it hurts your life, right?
That's right.
But having a pastor, submitting yourself to these ministry gifts, the Bible says you can be perfected. The more you're perfected, the more blessed you'll be.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. Why? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. So not only are you hurt, but the church is hurt. The body of Christ is hurt. Now let me just, because we're going to kind of hit some things, that ideas that are out there. Well, there's pastors on television.
Come on.
I can just watch it on TV. Well, let me just say this. When you need somebody to come with an anointing, like Brandy did, I read that testimony, and she said a calmness came when her pastor got on the phone. I pumped her so full of faith.
Praise God.
Drove in the middle of the night, 3.5 hours away, on a whim, to go lay hands on her. And we'll do it in a second again. Stayed there for 5 minutes, turned around, drove home. Came back here, got home about 5 o'clock in the morning, came here and preached on a Sunday morning. See, things people won't even ever know. But you try to get Joel Osteen to come lay hands on. You try to get Pastor Hagee to come. And Charles Stanley and whoever's out there to come. And offer you counsel when you're in a situation. When you're going through hell in your marriage, and you're going through hell with your kids, and you're going through hell financially, try to see if you can get them on the phone. A true pastor is one that lives among the sheep. Now, I'm not saying those TV preachers are wrong. They have their own congregations, and they're good for supplemental things for us, but they're not your main shepherd. A true shepherd that you have will be one that's amongst the sheep, amongst your life, knows your family, knows what's going on, can help you. You try to get them to come lay hands on your kids and give you counsel. You'll never get them on the phone.
Right.
You'll never get them to show up at the hospital.
Right.
Yeah. And let me just show you this in the Bible, Romans 1 and verse 11. You say, I'll just listen to you by live stream then, you big jerk. I'll listen to you by live stream.
Come on.
Well,
come on.
Let's see if that's... Now, live stream's good, but it ain't a main thing.
Right.
It's a supplement. Look what Paul said, and I think Paul knew what he was talking about.
Amen.
He said, Romans 1:11, he says, for I long to
see
you. The minister longing to see the people. So even if we have video live stream, it doesn't matter if you can see me.
Right.
What matters is, can I see you? You say, well, what big deal does it have? I don't know, but God says it does. For I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to the end that you'd be established. You'd be full. You'd be perfected. That's what that word means, matured and perfected. You can't be matured and perfected unless there's a face-to-face contact. There's some kind of supernatural connection that happens when people are in a service that you can't get. I've heard people say it before. I listened by live stream. It wasn't the same. It was good, but it wasn't the same as being there. Why? I long to see you so I can impart something that you'll be established. You'll never be established, matured, and perfected until you submit yourself to that face-to-face encounter. Well, what does it all come down to? Honoring the local church. Understanding this is your appointment with God. See, it's not a minor thing to me. When I say that I have missed maybe 5 church services in 12 years since I got serious about God, and those have been for medical emergencies or vacations, not one time has it been because I slept in. Right. Never! Why? Because I can't miss my appointment with God. I set an alarm. I set 2 alarms, one on my iPad, one on my iPhone, and I tell her, make sure I'm up by a certain time. Why? I'm not missing this. It's too important to me. God's meeting with me. He's kind enough to meet with me. I'm going to be there to hear. Right? And when I say that, I'm not saying, oh, pat Pastor Mike on the back. I'm trying to be an example to you that it's possible. It's possible to do it. Why? It's not because I'm better than people. It's not because I'm trying to be religious. Because I have an understanding that God is there. And without God, I'm nothing. I need every ounce and bit of God that I can have. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Talking about honoring your appointment with God. Praise God. You know, I don't have much sympathy either for busyness, because Jesus didn't have sympathy for busyness with Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, they were real busy, and one chose to come hear the word and one didn't. And Jesus said, don't you get mad at the one that took the time out. You can make time. For the word. You make time for the word. We'll get to some things. You'll really hate me in a second here. But anyway. Anyways, Hebrews 10:25. I'm kidding when I say that. I hope. It says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now look at this. As the manner of some is. Wow. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day Jesus comes back. One translation says, as it gets darker out there, you should meet more and more in here together. You watch in the last days, the true word churches explode in this country. Because people are going to be so desperate and so scared and so needing the truth. And people in the church are going to be blessed and protected and helped. Yeah. Not forsaking. So some people have forsaken the assembling. I know it all over the place. I don't need a church. It's me and my Bible. Me and Jesus. Me and Jesus. Well, if you really want to get with Jesus, you'll find that He's leading you into church. Listen to what it says in the Message. Not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Wow. Glory to God. You know, when I go to an appointment, for example, like a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment, I'm going to that place because I can't get what they can give me anywhere else. So I go to those appointments because what they need or what they got, I need it, and I can't get it anywhere else. What the local church has, you need it, and you can't get it anywhere else. You can't. You can't get it anywhere else. The things that God can give you through your local church. Not forsaking. Where do pastors meet? In church. Glory to God. And again, not being legalistic. Not trying to talk about vacations and unforeseen things and scheduling things that went crazy. I'm not talking about that. Praise God. God's way of getting blessings to His people is through the local church.
Amen.
I could line you up. Well, I could line you up people in this church, but I could line you up hundreds of people at the. I'm literally talking hundreds of people at the Jamestown church, because I used to be the associate there, and that church is quite big now. That got this revelation. That didn't have this revelation. Got this revelation. And now it's the center of their universe. Every time the doors are open, as much as they can be there, they're there. Their kids are there. They're in church, and their whole lives have changed. Why? Not because God said, oh, you went to church now, you're a good boy, here's your sticker. No, because you started receiving now what that place had to offer. What that place had to offer. Hallelujah. Praise God. When your pastor's there, you should be there. Think about this. Think about this. We'll give minimum. Now, if you have a part-time job, maybe, and you're believing for a full-time job, maybe this doesn't include you, but most people have full-time jobs, which is 40 hours a week. A lot of people I know would just love to only work 40 hours a week. And some working 50, 60, 70. But we'll do it faithfully. Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday. We'll wake up early. We'll get ready. We'll come prepared, right? We'll come there and we'll be faithful to attend there and we'll. I mean, I know some people that their whole lives they never missed a day at work. Her dad was one of them. Just honor his job to be there. I'm supposed to be there from 7 to 5 or 7 to 4. I'm going to be there. And they'll honor that. But we can't give God an hour and a half a week or sometimes 3 hours a week if we have a midweek service. Come on. Do you see how it's backwards? We give more reverence. We give more reverence and we put more honor on the world system and the world's ways than we do the house of God. An hour and a half, 10 to 11:30, we're out of here. And that is so hard for some people, yet they're completely faithful to their job. Backwards. You want God to move heaven and earth and you can't even move an hour and a half for him? Backwards. They that honor me, I will honor them. I know. Just you know. You get people that, do you show up for church on time to your appointment? Again, not being legalistic. I understand things come up, sometimes the weather and unforeseen vehicle things, and just, I know things happen. I'm talking consistently. Are you rushing in here last second? Unprepared and just scatterbrained and not ready to worship and certain, what, we give more, I mean, we wouldn't do that at our jobs. If we did, we're going to get canned. Thank God, God don't can us. God's merciful. But somebody's got to tell us. Why? Honoring your appointment with God. See, if you from now on stop saying, you know what, Wednesday night service, but you say, no, what? God is going to be there on Wednesday night. God's going to talk to me. God's going to be there Sunday morning. It becomes a big event. It becomes an exciting thing. And you look at it different. Praise God. You know, think about this. Why are you on time in an airport when you're going on a vacation? Because you're excited. Because you don't want to miss that flight, because if you miss that flight, you might miss out on all the fun. But man, when it comes to church, oh, I'll take it or leave it. Because you don't have a mindset and a revelation that this is where your blessing is. Honoring the things of God. Well, that was number one, honor your appointments with God. Are you ready to number two? How do you show up? We kind of started talking about that with being on time. How do you show up for your appointments? I don't know if you are aware of this, but there's three parts to every service. There's God's part and what he wants to do. There's the minister's part that God wants to flow the service through. And then there's the people's part. Amen. I won't go there for time's sake, but remember in Mark 6, Jesus could there do no mighty work. God wanted to. God was ready. God was prepared. We know Jesus was prepared, but the people weren't prepared to receive. The Bible said they were in lack of faith too. The lack of honor led to the lack of faith, and they didn't receive. Three parts to every service. How do you show up? How do you show up to a service? What do you mean, Pastor? How do I show up? Well, let's look at Matthew 18 and verse 20. I want to put some things in perspective here. Again, we're talking about honoring the things of God.
Amen. Good word.
When God has guest ministers come in, what's your idea about it? Well, I'm not going to that. I don't like those people up Fredonia. I don't like those people in James. I don't like how they do things. I'm not there for the other people. I could give a rip. I don't care if you ignore me, like me, love me. I'm not there for you. I'm there for me. I'm there for my family. Well, I'm not driving. You won't drive 40 minutes for God to speak to you, to tell you something? I'm going to just lay it on the line. I've been in services. I'm merciful and loving. You better thank God I am. Because I've had people come up to me after a guest minister was there all week and hit the nail on the head of what they're going through. Supernaturally would have pulled that thing off them. And they come up to me with a problem, and I want to sit there and look at them and say, don't bother me. God was speaking to you for a week. And now you're coming to take my time, but I don't do that. I'm just sweet and help them. But that's what I want to do. Yeah. I'm not taking time to go do that for God. But you'll sit there and watch television. I'm serious. I love certain parts of TV, but I'm telling you what, we worship it. Hours. Setting our schedules around it. Missing appointments with God because of it. Are you kidding me? We need to have a right perspective. Again, we're not being religious. We're trying to honor God. Can you imagine if you showed up with the attitude of, Lord, you're talking today. I'm going to be on time. I'm going to be there ready to receive. I'm going to be hungry. I'm going to worship you. That would get God. That would turn him on. Oh, that would turn God on.
Yeah.
Brother Hagin would say this. He'd say, when you get thrilled with the word is when the word will work for you. When people aren't thrilled with it, it doesn't work for them. But they get thrilled. When you get thrilled with the things of God, boy, things start moving. But Matthew 18, verse 19, or I'm sorry, Matthew 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst.
Yeah.
Not a math major, but I know we got three here. We got them on the front row. 1, 2, 3. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Actually, when I got here with Caleb, and Jeff and Michelle were already here, that qualified for Jesus to be here. That was 4 people. He said, I'm in the midst of you. He said, now, okay, let's look at what the Bible says, and let's be realistic about this. Jesus said, I'm in the midst of you. He's here right now. I don't know where he is. Maybe sitting between you two. I don't know. Keeping an eye on these troublemakers. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I'd be sitting next to me all the time. So I was so bad in church, just so bad. But he's here. Yeah. Jesus is here. Not only can he see the natural, but he sees your thoughts. What are you saying when it gets to be 11:20 and pastor's still preaching something? He sees what you're thinking. He sees what you're thinking. What's your attitude as you're sitting there? He knows your attitude. He's the general walking in the midst of the church. The Bible calls us soldiers too, not only sheep, but endure hardness as a good soldier, Paul told Timothy. So he's inspecting the troops as he's here. Walking in the midst of us. What's your heart like? What are you thinking about? What's your attitude? Are you thinking about the game after? That they're going to, wait, they don't play this week. Thank God they don't play this week. Keep my Sunday happy. Are you thinking about that? Are you thinking about what I get to do? When's he going to stop? Or are you on the edge of your spiritual seat saying, Lord, give me what I need? Well, but the point is, what I'm trying to say is that whether or not we recognize this or have a consciousness about it doesn't change the fact that it's so. He's here regardless if we acknowledge him or not, regardless if we have the attitude about him being here. He's here. So we might as well get on board and start acknowledging the fact that he's here. I'll tell you what, again, if we post it again, Jesus is going to be down 207 Pine Street, South Dayton, New York. Jesus is going to be there. Change people's attitudes. But he is, though. How much more by faith? Why do we need to see him? Faith pleases him. Jesus said to Thomas, you believed because you've seen. Blessed are those who believe because they haven't seen. Imagine saying, you know what? How can I miss? Jesus is going to be there. How can I show up with the wrong attitude? Jesus is going to be there. Oh, I know. I know. Are you showing up with no faith? So you don't understand you have a part to the service. I don't have time to go there, but if you look at the book of Acts, they had some mighty moves of God. And you know what preceded a lot of those mighty moves? It would say this. They were all in one accord. Amen. One accord. Yeah. Not some coming in grumpy. Yeah.
Come on.
You know, not some coming in the weight of the world on their shoulders. Now, this is a place where you're going to get help for that. I'm talking about having a mindset when you come to church. We want the broken to come. We want the hurting to come. But as we grow, we should show up different. We ought to not show up the way the sinner shows up. We ought to not show up the way... We ought to grow and mature in these things and show up different. But they were in one accord, lifting their voice together, praising God, and the moves of God would happen. But people show up. Man, stayed up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Come in the next day. Can't stay awake, can't pay attention, don't want to be there, having a heart. Why? No honor for the things of God. You would be appalled if you knew that your pastor was up all night and just stumbling in here in the morning, just, oh, any, many, miny, mo. Okay, let's preach that one today. You'd be appalled. I'd never do that. Why? It's an appointment with God. Showing up ready. Are you showing up hungry? Let's look at Psalms 100 and verse 4. I know, this is changing some things, isn't it? Wait till I get to my third point. Just wait. Why? I want honor. I want honor to be the mark of your life. You can get religious about this stuff. We don't want to get religious about this stuff. We're just trying to show you some things and having a perspective that the Lord's here. How would that change? How would that change how you are when you're here? Psalms 100 and verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The Message Bible says, enter with the password. Notice that the Bible tells you to come a certain way.
Sure. Come on.
Now you say, man, I'm just not comfortable coming faith-filled and worshiping. Work on that.
Yeah.
Work on that. You know, people say, I'll never raise my hands. But the Bible says, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. It's not about, I want to look a certain way. I want to bless him. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise looks and sounds like something. And are you showing up ready to worship him? Or when the music kicks off, are you a statue? Now, if you are, and you're just, grow into that. I was the statue. I remember I just finally got a pinky up in the air. And I just finally even whispered, said, just Jesus. Yeah. But you know when I was growing?
That's right.
It's one thing to stay in neutral or to go backwards. We want to go forward. Yeah, God's good. He's merciful. He'll work with you.
Amen.
But are we showing up? He's okay. Okay, I see that. He says to enter in with thanksgiving and praise.
Right.
I'm not going to come in with anything but praise and thanksgiving. Are you coming in dumping all your problems on the pastor 5 minutes before he preaches? Are you coming in making sure everybody knows you're miserable? Add to the service. Bring your supply, not just financially. Bring your supply of faith. Bring your supply in the Spirit. Are you responding during the service? Some people are more vocal. We're not asking for certain people to do certain things. But are you responding? Are you engaged? What do I mean? Are you excited about the Word of God? Yeah, he's here. It's life-changing stuff, I know. Enter into his gates. How do you respond? You bring your faith supply. You know, when we show up, if I was a boss, and I was at one time, I had employees between 12 and 20, depending on how many extra outside contractors we had when I ran the after-school program, and they had to show up a certain way. They had to show up with a certain attitude. They had to show up with a certain demeanor. They had to show up with a certain excitement for those kids. If I was a boss now, my employees better show up a certain way. They better show up on time. They better show up with a good attitude. They better show up ready to work. Why are we giving more honor to work than we do the church? We ought to show up on time with a smile, ready to worship, ready to bring our supply and add to the service. No questions asked. That's what we should. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, are you ready? Are you sure? Okay. So funny that the day we're going to talk about this is the day I forget my suit coat. Because we're going to talk about what do you wear when you come to church.
Amen.
Now, Pastor, let me just say this before we go on. I mean this with all sincerity of heart. There'll never be a dress code here. There'll never be a judgmental look for me. And there'll never be me expecting you. The only way it would be is if you serve in certain positions in the church or if you ever wore anything that was inappropriate or in the sense of it pulled from the service. You know, people coming in not wearing clothes or people coming in with something so offensive. I would say something then. But I'm talking about you'll never get a judgmental look for anything you wear. I'll never treat you different. There'll never be a dress code. You're never expected to look a certain way in this church. Let's get that out of the way right now. I don't care if you show up here in your tank top or your shorts and flip-flops or if you show up here in a tuxedo, I'm going to hug you, I'm going to pass you, and I'm going to love you the same, and I'm not even going to think a thing about it. I'm telling you the truth. But I want to offer today some things on perspective of how we show up to church. I just want to put some things out there, food for thought. If you throw this away, fine. Again, nobody's caring. We haven't said a thing about it, never will. God, number one, God's more interested in your heart than he is your outer appearance. Let's just get that out of the way. God's more interested in your heart than how you look. And a lot of times, dressing up for church has become a fashion show.
Sure.
Or a fashion contest. And if it becomes that, that's a problem too.
Yeah, that's right.
It ought to be a personal heart issue for God. But I want to talk to you today a little bit about it. Remember now, Lord says, if you'll honor me, I'll honor you. Number one, I want to help you with this. Why does my pastor dress up? Why does my pastor insist on preaching in a suit and tie? That's why I won't take this coat off. I feel like I'm just dishonoring it, preaching without a coat on. Now, I know it, this day and age, in the body of Christ, you'll see on TV, pastors in jeans, pastors in Hawaiian shirts, shirt untucked, and just casual. And I'm not judging them, never will. But I want to offer some things in perspective today on clothing and dress. Again, if you don't do anything with this, fine. But I want to just offer some insight on this. Go to Exodus 28 and verse 2. Talking about my pastor. Why does my pastor dress up? I think I'm going to offer some things that will be a blessing to you today. That'll just be like, you know what? Wow. Why do we reverence those things more than the house of God? Exodus, and again, no dress code. Not even going to tell you what you should or shouldn't wear. That's a heart thing. Exodus 28 and verse 2. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and beauty. Now Aaron was in the priest's office. Listen to what it says in another translation. And you shall make for Aaron your brother sacred garments, appointed official dress set apart for special holy services for honor and beauty. This idea that's creeped into the body of Christ that the pastor should be like everybody. No, he shouldn't. I don't want a police officer to look like me. I find comfort in the police officer dressed in his uniform. When I show up at the doctor's office, I find comfort that they look like a doctor. I don't want them to be like me. What I mean by that, not in a better, I'm not talking about, I'm saying I have something to offer you. This idea that, well, you can't reach people unless you dress like them. That's not our message is not, we're like the sinner. We're not like the sinner. We ought to be in a higher level. We ought to be in a more honorable level. I can't tell you, oh, you know what? I need help from that police officer, but I'm not going to go over to him because he's got a uniform on. That doctor's dressed up. I can't receive from him. Stupid.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is my pastor dressed up? Why? Because I want to be honorable.
Amen.
You know, okay, I'm going to offer this. Because some churches, the pastors have just absolutely just, I'm saying out loud from a pulpit, dishonored their office. Just dishonored their office.
That's right. Yeah.
I work for him.
Yes.
And people say, oh, pastor.
Come on.
Okay, let me just say this. Don't tell me. If I showed up in shorts and flip-flops and a t-shirt, you wouldn't have trouble receiving from me. Don't even tell me you wouldn't. Don't tell me something in your heart would be like, what is going on? I show up here in my sweatpants. That's all I wear at home. My sweatpants and a t-shirt. I show up. Don't tell me that you wouldn't think something. Right? Now you say, pastor, I'm going to smack the heck out of the religious people in here right now that have a problem with what I'm saying. Okay, are you ready for me to smack the heck out of you? Because I hate the devil. And I know what he's doing to people's thoughts. Oh, yeah, you're doing this, putting bondages on people. Why does the world, every journalist and news reporter I see on TV, dress sharp and look good, and that's normal? If Brian Williams on NBC Evening News showed up in his sweatpants and a t-shirt, first of all, he'd get fired. And people are, what the heck's wrong with him? But we think it's normal. People on those Hollywood news shows, like TMZ and The Insider and Inside Edition, they look sharp. And they're reporting about Hollywood trash and gossip, and we think that's good that they look that way. Yeah, sports reporters who are reporting on something that means nothing are dressed in sharp looking, and we think it's normal. But a pastor comes in dressed up, and then and people want it, and I'm not saying here because you're used to it, people think, why has he got dressed like that? I brought somebody to a service one time that needed healing, and Dr. Dufresne walked in. And walked in looking, I mean, he looked good. I know that man's heart. Not trying to impress anybody but God. Walks in trying to impress God, and the person I'm sitting next to says, look at the suit he's wearing. Who does he think he is? And you know what the Holy Ghost said to me? They won't get their healing tonight. And they didn't get their healing tonight. Dishonorable. But we think it's normal for lawyers and businessmen to dress up. But the pastor, he ought to just look like everyone else. Why would we give more honor? Because obviously there's a standard and an idea in culture and in America that in positions like this, people ought to dress up and look a certain way. But when it comes to the church, we just throw them out the window. Why? Because the devil creeps in and casualness creeps in. Now, are you ready for me to help you? We're almost done. I want to give you perspective in two areas about people saying, it does not matter what I wear to church. And again, God's more interested in your heart, but I'm going to give you perspective about what, first of all, look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20. We're almost done. Praise God. Don't leave here saying, well, I got to wear, no, you don't. Just come to church. If God deals with your heart, obey Him.
Amen.
But I want to offer you perspective on these things. We're talking about honoring God. And I think I'll help you. We're going to close out. Save the fireworks for the grand finale. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20 says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So it's talking about that in a house there's honorable vessels, ones of gold and silver that are really valuable and special, and then there's wood and one other place talks about stubble and just not being very, you know, being at a lesser thing. Now here's what I want you to see. You're a vessel. a carrier of the Spirit of God. Now, what I know about vessels that are very important and very fancy and very expensive, not only do they maybe carry something valuable, but they look a certain way on the outside. You know they're important. You know they're special by how the outside, how it's adorned on the outside. That's perspective, but I want to offer you perspective in two areas about this. Now, even the person, how do I know? Because I've seen family members do it over and over and over again that go to church. Even people that say, it don't matter what I wear, I don't care, I'm a show up with whatever I have on. You can. Well, if God deals with you, but let me just ask you this for perspective. Why then do those same people that say, it don't matter what I wear, I'm not going to change what I wear, why when they go to a wedding do they put their best clothes on? Why when they go to a funeral do they put their best clothes on? Why have I had people come to church that have been, and I'm talking in the years I've been in church, dressed up that day, and I said, hey, they look different, what's going on? Oh, I have something important after church. Why did you change? Why aren't you wearing your casual clothes? Yeah. Because I got a wedding to go to. Oh, you mean you have a special occasion to go to? Yeah. I know. Yeah. Should I get my shield up? What are you going to start throwing at me? I got things I'll throw back. I'll throw it back. If you go out to a fancy dinner, or a date, what do you? You dress different. Why? It's a special occasion. Why on Christmas and Easter are people wearing their best? Because in their minds, it's a special occasion. Do you see how we have dumbed down a Wednesday service and a Sunday service to being normal? It's not normal. When Jesus Christ and God Almighty shows up, it's never normal. It's never mundane. It's never repetitive. It's always amazing and special and exciting. Can you imagine? That's what I'm saying. If we had that perspective, because when you go to a wedding or a funeral, you know this is a special event. I just can't go looking like anything. I just can't. You know I'm right. But church has become so unspecial to people. And we dishonor our visitation with God. And we show up any old way. We show up with any old attitude. And we show up looking any old way. But we'll give more honor to a wedding, more honor to a funeral, more honor to a dinner, or more honor to a party, a company party. People will show up looking good. But church, why? No honor for the house of God. Who all's not going to be here next week now? Who's going to leave the church over this? Because if you are, let me come up here and cast the devil out of you. Because don't let him talk bad things to you. We're talking about being honorable to him.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to just say this. I don't want you to start booing me and start telling me what you think. I'm talking about the presidential office. I'm not talking about a man. I'm not talking about a party affiliation. But if you got invited to the White House, if you showed up in just casual clothes, I would say there's something wrong with you. If I got invited to the White House, you better believe I'm going to dress a certain way. Now, I don't care if you respect whoever's, I'm just saying that office. How much more for the King of Kings? For the Lord of Lords? Right? Now, I'm not going to, when you come in next week, look you up and down and say, you know, what's wrong with you? I'll just hug you and say, great to see you, because I don't have a dress code. I don't know what that means for you. I don't know what that means for you. I know for me it means I need to wear my best. For me. The best that I have are the suits that I have in my closet right now. If I get better suits, I'll wear those. For me, that's what church is to me. I'm not trying to impress you, not trying to look a certain way. I'm trying to wear the best I have for the special occasion of meeting with my Savior. Meeting with my Jesus, meeting with my God. Coming here with a good attitude. Coming here on time. Showing up every time I can. Why? Because it's just too important to me. But if you'll have that kind of honor, he'll honor you. Amen? Amen. Well, I always laugh at the, you know, if you've done this, I mean, come on, I'm not thinking about you, but the people that when it comes on Easter and Christmas, man, they look so good. I'm thinking, what about April 10th when Jesus was there? Jesus ain't more here on Easter and Christmas. Just some things to ponder in your heart and see what the Lord's saying to you. If you say and flush this down the toilet, flush it down the toilet. Make sure you come back. You'll be blessed. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight or this morning. We're just so thankful for what you've done for us, Father. And Lord, you know my heart. I don't even, you know, think anything of it. You know, people serving in certain positions, I do ask for a certain way and different things like that. But Father, we just want people to come as they are. But Lord, I believe you're always trying to raise us up to a higher standard. And Lord, I just have a problem with things of the world and events of the world and parties and different get-togethers of the world. People having more honor for those than you. It doesn't sit right with me. I can't swallow that good. And so Lord, I just pray that you talk to people, speak to people, Lord, and they'll obey you if you do, Father. And we just love you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we want to be honorable. We don't want to let casualness slip into the church. We don't want to be casual towards the things of God. We want to be reverential. We want to be respectful. We want to highly esteem the things that you have for us. Yeah. Praise your name. Just worship him for a second. We just bless you, Lord. We honor you, magnify you. Jesus, we praise you. We love you today. Just so thankful. For some hearts have become callous towards the things of God. For some hearts have become like a stone towards the things of God. And the Lord is saying this morning that there are some that the problem has been a lack of honor towards the things of God, and so therefore the honor of God, because him needing to keep his word, has been kept from you. And the reason that he tells me that it's a heart thing is because the change is going to come with a heart adjustment. The coldness and the callousness needs to be peeled away. The pride needs to be set down, and there needs to become an honor towards the house of God. This very day, as I speak forward from the Holy Ghost, there are things that have been stuck. There are things that have not gone forward. There are things that have been a problem. It's been just this constant spinning of the tires, and it's been an honor issue. For those that the Lord would speak to in your heart and tell you to make adjustments, do not fight against that. Paul, the Bible said, kicked against the pricks or kicked against the goads. God was telling him, stop persecuting my church. Stop doing it. Stop doing it. And Paul kept doing it till finally he submitted. Submit to the honor of God. Submit to the changes that God wants to have for you. And walk into those blessings that have before been stopped up. It comes down to a heart issue. And it comes down to a small change on the inside. Father, we thank you for that. We'll obey that. We'll obey that, Lord. Well, I don't know who that's for, who that's speaking to, the little things. Maybe it's an on-time thing. Maybe it's a dress thing. Maybe it's a way you show up. Maybe it's a worship thing. Maybe it's an attitude thing. But Lord, we're going to be honorable. This place is going to be a place of honor where the power of God is going to flow through, because we have high respect for you and your plan. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that. If the answer is, I don't know, or I think so, well, here's how you know for sure. If you believe Jesus died and you believe Jesus rose again, you're qualified for it. If you want to accept him into your heart, then that's all you have to do, is ask him to come in there. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around if you're in here. Now, if you've already done this and you've already prayed the prayer in church, you don't have to do it again. If you had a bad week, just repent. But you'd only have to ask him into your heart one time, and he stays there. He comes in and takes up residency. Doesn't leave. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if you're here, heads bowed and eyes closed, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, would you just raise your hand if you want to accept him? If you've never done it before, is there anybody at all in the service? I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know everybody that's listening by live stream or listening in the future, but let's just go ahead and pray this prayer together. If you needed to raise your hand, or if you did raise your hand, just pray this one-time thing and mean it with all your heart. Everybody say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart. I believe you rose from the dead. Please forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I dismiss you, let me remind you a couple things. I know we've gone a little late. Please do not keep your cars in the parking lot if you live here. We got to clear that out for the workers. Keep the parking lot or the couple spaces open on Wednesday night. Don't forget we have service Wednesday night at 6:30. But most importantly, in this series of honor, where we're talking about things that can maybe rub people the wrong way naturally, or don't just up and leave your place that God's blessing you. Call and ask questions. Say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? What does the Word say about that? I mean, let's talk about the Word of God. So if you have any questions, feel free to call. But have a blessed week. We'll see you Wednesday night, 6:30. You're dismissed.